Welcome to our podcast. This is Victor Fonov, and I'm the lead pastor here at Whitefields Church. Our focus is to help you grow relationally and spiritually. Enjoy the message.
And if you were not touched by the Lord to this morning, just from the get-go, from the worship time, it's maybe your heart is just layered up a little bit. You need to break through the shell a little bit. Awesome things are happening in our life. Amen. God is so good. Derek, my man, congratulations. Our brother Derek right there, the man who praises God like David. This man graduated a program at Adult Teen Challenge, so let's give it up and just encourage him. God has brought you to that program, and he found you. Not only that, he has a huge calling for you in your life, my man. I'm so glad, so glad. Hallelujah. Just last couple of days, there was like a National Sons Day. You know, there's always a day for something. And just this, I guess, a few days ago, my wife reminded me, because there's Daughter's Day too. And I encourage men and husbands, make sure you take care of that. Spend the time one-on-one with your daughters, with your sons. And if you don't have any, just come and get some prayers so you can get some kids. We can do that. We got faith for that. It's pretty awesome to see what God is doing. And I just love that even in our children's lives. So I took Ryan out. I had an appointment for a haircut. But then she only had a little bit of time. And I was like, you know, I'm gonna bring my son. And he was so excited. He was like, I'm going to get a professional haircut, because I always cut his hair, you know. And I was like, you want to get a professional haircut? He's like, yeah. And so I brought him in, and he was just sitting there with his eyes closed. He was just amazing. He's such a good-looking guy. So my son Ryan got a haircut. And after that, he's just – it's amazing how his perspective even changed on himself. He's just walking around. He's like, Dad. He's like, I feel so grown up. Like – he's like, Dad, I'm going to be a preacher one day. I'm going to be a pastor one day. I'm like, come on. I'm like, Pastor Robert and Miss Leah already called that a long time ago. They started calling him pastor from he was a kid. I remember when Pastor Mark came into the hospital when he was born, and he picked up my son Ryan, and he was like, wow, I had to sit down. And it was amazing, because God gave vision to Pastor Mark right away. It was so beautiful about just him preaching to multitudes and not just, you know, other places, but just like in America here. And I was like, Lord, that's amazing. That's so beautiful. So it's awesome. It's awesome. Praise God that God is speaking to us. And that was something new. Pastor Robert, I honor you for doing that. That's amazing. And I like, it was crazy because, like, I don't know. I was like, Lord, I understand it. Like, I'm listening, and I'm like, I've never had this where somebody's has a word in tongue and I'm understanding it. And now I'm like, Lord, well, now how do I remember that? So I just try to analyze back little by little, and just so I just thank you for being obedient in that, because, you know, we talked about the empowerment of the Holy Spirit and what happens when the presence of God comes. It's so beautiful. And if it's something new to you, something you haven't experienced, it's okay. Even Pastor Mark had this amazing story when he showed up in the middle of, and there was like somebody was praying in tongues and somebody stood up, right, gave an interpretation. And you're like, wow, God is in this place. And then he just booked it out of there. But God still found him. God is pursuing our hearts. The question is, are we pursuing him? Amen. So last week I spoke and taught a little bit on the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And I compared what is indwelling versus infilling. And indwelling is a permanent residence. It happens at the time of our salvation. And infilling is an ongoing empowerment and guidance, right? And it says you will receive power to be his witnesses. And that's why from there on out, we're no longer our own, right? The scripture tells in 1 Corinthians 6:19 says we're no longer our own, amen? So while indwelling of the Holy Spirit happens in that time of salvation, but that's just only the beginning, right? And infilling must happen on a continuous basis. That's where you receive your empowerment. Amen? We're constantly being filled with the Holy Spirit, being transformed, it says, into image of his son. And you're moved from glory to glory, from power to power. You are continuously, there's no depths in how deep you can go with the Holy Spirit. I'm telling you. And the more you begin to spend time and listen for him, he is there, because we are sealed with Holy Spirit. Amen? But he wants to empower us. And that's the one thing that Christians a lot of times miss. They're like, hey, I received the Holy Spirit, time of salvation, that's great. I understand that's against certain people's theology, but based on scripture that I see, is we get, you know, Jesus breathed on his disciples, right? But then later, the Spirit came upon them. So we want to make sure to understand that is the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. That's where we get the gifts of tongues and stuff like we get prophecy, we get word of knowledge, dream interpretation. Those are all beautiful gifts that God wants to do. This is why it's called empowerment, because the Holy Spirit wants to empower His church. He wants to empower His people. And that's why a lot of times you'd be like, how do I even move about in this crazy world? But the more you're filled with the Holy Spirit, the more you're guided by Him in every step of the way. And He's there if we're willing to listen, right? If we're willing to incline our voice. Today, I want to open up with the following passage, and I believe it's going to tie in really well with the last week. James chapter 4, verse 2 and 3. You desire, but do not have, so you kill. Ooh. You know, you ever hear people say, I'd kill for that. Yeah? I'd kill for that donut. I mean, I get that sense of humor. But people really, like, get into it. This is very profound because you covet, but you cannot get what you want. So you quarrel and fight. You do not have because you do not ask God. There's that question right there, right? A lot of times we come to Him later only when things get challenging. When you ask, you do not receive because you ask with wrong motives, okay? That you may spend what you get on your pleasures. People pray a lot to God. It's like, even non-believers, a lot of times, they're like, oh, please, 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 Lord. They're calling upon their name, whatever it is that they're doing. And a lot of times, it's like, they're not being guided. They're doing kind of like backwards, right? You try to do something, slap a bumper sticker on it. Lord, can you just approve that? You know, come on. And but the thing is, when we are guided by the Holy Spirit, we will have right motives. In other words, our moves will be proper as well, right? Because Holy Spirit says He will guide us into all the truth, right? It doesn't say some truth. And all truth. It's very important. And everybody wants to know, like, I want to know the all truth. Tell me the truth. I want to know the truth, you know? He will guide you into all of the truth. That's the Holy Spirit. So, but there's something that happens in every Christian, I believe, or if it didn't happen to you, that's amazing. I want to get to know you even deeper and how you manage to do that. But there's the reality is this, because there's a human factor. There's something that we experience early on in our Christian life that we're filled, and when we're filled and empowered, right, we are bold with our prayers. How many know that? It happens across the board with anything, with any relationship, right? When you're first pursuing your wife, you're just, oh yeah, you're putting your time and effort, and you're just passionate about it, right? Remember when you get that first job, you're excited about it, right? Put that anything. First, when you get your child, how excited you are about your child. You're like, oh yeah, I finally have my son. And then they grow up and they get a little challenging. You're like, ugh, Lord, I didn't know that was coming with that. No, seriously. But that's the fact with everything, right? And you know what's the saddest thing? It happens when it comes to our relationship with God. Scripture continues to remind us, says, remember where you first fell, right? Come back to that first love, right? First love with God, amen? So with time, like, we're first, like, we're bold with prayers. We're like, Lord, let's go. I believe we can move the mountains. You're just bold about your faith. You go. You're not afraid. You're just coming out. And then we get mature in Christ. Yeah? Mature with our faith. But reality is, like, we need to have childlike faith, which is like, I'm coming in. I don't care who dad is talking to. Like, that's my dad, and I'm coming in. Like, so, but we get this thing where we're just like, yeah, I don't think I need to involve God with that. And I've seen it all the time. Not only that, I've seen it in my life so many times. So I'm going to use myself as an example, right? You're like, yeah, why do I need to ask God to help me find a vehicle when I can just go to the website and just search, you know? Yeah, and you're searching, and then you're like, oh, what a bad deal. What about this thing? And we get into it, right? But I noticed, and the scripture tells us, acknowledge God in all of your ways, right? It doesn't say some of your ways, and He will direct your path, right? So, we get excited early on, but then we kind of like, I don't think God needs to be involved. And then we're like wondering what's going on, and we're trying to find answers at wrong places, right? And that's when our motives are different. All of a sudden, our motives change. I'm just talking about just the scripture that I just read, right? And then before we know, we think God is so distant, right?
Our Savior, our
King. Before you know it, we're like, I don't think He's interested in my needs.
Some trust in chariots. Some trust.
Seriously, that's what happens. So we struggle. We complain. We begin to worry.
Our trust is in God, our Savior, the King of Kings, Lord. Amen.
Urgency.
Hallelujah. Thank you.
And faith to the one who birthed us into this world, because we were formed already in the image of God before we were even created in the mother's womb. Jeremiah says, right? I already knew you. Oh, he already knew us. Come on, that is so beautiful. Amen. So the challenge for us today is to, how do we maintain our desperation for God? Okay. I believe when you're led by the Holy Spirit, you can't help but be desperate for God at all times. You know, people will like, man, just shut up. Stop. You know, people will judge you. You're like, anytime there's a song of praise going, you're like, oh, I will praise you. You ever just look at the children? Why did Jesus can put a child before people and said, if you do not become like this child, you will not inherit the kingdom of God? It's not talking about your spiritual growth remaining as a child. It's talking about his faith, the faith of children that they have, right? Continuous excitement, wonder, like, wow, dreaming with God and just being a child before him on a continuous basis, right? Now, Bible is full of examples of people, of desperate situation, people that were just desperate for God, you know? And there's times when you're desperate because you have a need. There's times where you're desperate because something went wrong. But regardless what, desperation is something that we can allow the enemy to use, or we can allow the Holy Spirit to drive us into our purpose. And I'm telling you, this may sound like odd teaching at the moment right now, but just watch and wait, and you'll see how the desperation for God, for things of God, are something that God wants us to have on a continuous basis, not just when things go bad. That's the sad part, unfortunately. If you talk with people that have ever been in a need or challenging times, it's amazing. You get around them, they got so much faith. They're like, they feel like God is right there. And they're like, yes, I believe. It's easy to pray for those people. Why? Because they're desperate. Amen? So how do we maintain that? So the title of my message is Desperate Faith, where I wanted to call it also Fuel for Faith. Okay? And you'll understand that desperation is fuel for faith. So let me just pray real quick. Holy Spirit, I pray you speak to every heart this morning. Lord, we are just your children that are loved. But Lord, we're not just ordinary children. We're children of God. We have our identity comes from you, Lord. And I pray, Lord, you speak to every heart in this place in the mighty name of Jesus. And all God's people said, amen. You heard things such as desperate times call for desperate measures. Very popular one, right? I believe desperate people do desperate things. You see that. I mean, you see somebody get in a bad relationship and you see their desperation. You know, this last summer, saw somebody just a truck that was like tossed with donuts and somebody wrote like, I hate you, you cheater, all sorts of things. That's desperation. It's just misplaced desperation, right? Something went down, something went wrong. But sadly, even Christians often are desperate for wrong things. I'm telling you, I found myself where I'm just desperate, but I'm like, I have wrong motive. My motive is selfish. It's about something like, how do I grow myself, right? And when you are desperate for the things of God, something in your life just is different. You approach him differently. You go to church differently. You don't need a worship team to stir you up, to get you in the presence of God. When you're desperate for God, you're already rolling in here hot. You're like, Lord, I get to praise your holy name. I'm not just here just to hear, you know, just a tickle me message, just a you good job, you know. I'm here to be transformed by the power of the Holy Spirit. God wants to pull you out of your depth of sin, out of your struggle, and set your feet on solid rock. Come on, somebody. God wants to transform our lives. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, when you're desperate, you don't need anybody to tell you lift your hands. You don't need a worship team like, come on, let's lift your hands. Come on, you know, we still do that. And I honor worship people, man, because they get to see you all. You get to see only front. Like, you know, the worship team gets to look at everybody. And that's why a lot of times they have to, like, man, we have to press in. We got to close our eyes. We can't let people's weak faith. I'm not talking about everybody. Okay, not this church. Never, never, you know. But, like, we can't let that impact us. And I'm telling you, it's amazing. God gave us eyes because when we close our eyes, we stop the distraction, the external, right? And so, but it doesn't matter. When you're desperate for God on a continuous basis, being led by the Holy Spirit, you don't care how off-key you sing. I've seen that many times. And that's why we crank up the volume sometimes during our worship, you know, because it impacts certain singers. But I love that. That's a desperation when people are singing out their heart. They're like, this is my dad. I get to worship him. You don't care if your mascara is running. You could care less how people look at you because you know that there's only one thing God, only you can do in my life. Only you can do that in my life. And I'm telling you, you want to have some faith? Talk to some desperate Christians. Oh, I'm telling you, there are those, and they're increasing in numbers, and God is preparing us. And I believe in its end times, and God's preparing his harvest. Every believer, right, will be desperate for things of God. And they will be like, Lord, I'm moving with you. If there's a song of praise, I'm going to worship him. Amen? It doesn't matter. I'm telling you, desperation will cause you to hone in and focus on something. It's so beautiful to watch that. It is so beautiful to watch, especially people when they hit struggling, when they're like, Pastor, you won't believe this. Oh, this went down. And I'm excited because I'm like, oh, their heart is ready. Because sometimes people are like going on the downslope. And you know, until they hit the bottom, that's only when they can go up. It's like, bang, finally. Right? It's until you hit bottom a lot of times, until you come to the end of yourself, until then as the Lord is like, all right, what do you think about now? You want to do it now on your own again? But see, that's what's amazing. A lot of times God will allow that to happen. So we see that in our own strength, we cannot attain what we wanted to attain. And then we get there and the Lord's like, hey, sounds like a good place to build on. Foundation, we hit the ground, right? Come on. People get desperate. There's multiple examples, man. You get desperate enough. I'm telling you, Jonah, remember that guy? Got swallowed by a whale. It says fish, but obviously maybe there were big fish that were not like whales. I don't know. But the reality is this. I mean, he got swallowed by the fish, right? And Lord even found him there, but he got desperate enough, where so desperate enough that he was spit out into his purpose, literally. Like the Lord was like, all right, fish, time to spit him out. Boom, right on the shores of Nineveh. So I'm telling you, God wants to do amazing things in our life. Amen? Hallelujah. So we look at it like, Lord, how do I keep that focus on you on a continuous basis? It's a challenge because we're continuously distracted, right? And that's why lately, and I sense that the Holy Spirit has been speaking to the whole church. If you're not empowered by the Holy Spirit, if you're not moving with the Holy Spirit in this world, it's going to be a very difficult time. You need to be empowered because I'm telling you, there's so many things that are happening. There's people, there's warlocks, there's other stuff, there's witchcraft left and right. It doesn't even take much. It's already in the public. It doesn't take you much to just look at any just music on YouTube, whatever, from a non-Christian band, whatever. Satanic rituals, whether it's Taylor Swift, other stuff, pay attention. I'm telling you, there's so much that happens. And if we're not pressing in, if we're not in tune with the Holy Spirit, we're going to get swept up under the lies of the enemy. That's why people get caught up in whatever, all the noise that's happening around. If they're not being moved by the Holy Spirit, I'm telling you, they get swept up right underneath the rug. And next thing you know, they're full of anxiety. Oh, what's going to happen? Oh, is this going to happen? Is this going to happen? World War III is going to happen. When you move with the Holy Spirit, you're like, it don't matter. You can sleep in the back of the boat. Even the storm's raging. Jesus did that on purpose. That's what he was doing. He was just like, Jesus, don't you care? We're going to die. Just like, what? Sovereign peace. Sovereign swag. Holy Spirit, right? I'm telling you, when you are moved with the Holy Spirit, there's absolutely nothing that will stop you. I'm telling you, but it's connected to us. Like, right, what do we do? How do we redirect our focus? Where do we take our emotions? And at which point do we say, Lord, this is me, this is you? And I think we all deep inside know. You can quickly identify when it's the Holy Spirit. A lot of times Holy Spirit's like, don't do it. Don't do it, Vic. And then you do it and you're like, oh, I should have listened. That was you, Lord. That was so you. I'm telling you. I want to bring several examples about people that were desperate, that had holy desperation. And I want to stir your faith. I really want to stir your faith. And I believe the Lord just wants to, for you to be understanding that we're living in times where God called us to lay the hands on the sick and they will be healed. He has called us to cast out demons. That is just something that every Christ follower must be doing. Amen. So I want to stir up your faith. First, I want to bring up a Canaanite woman, right? In Matthew 15, verse 21 through 28. And Jesus went away from there and withdrew to a district of Tyre and Sidon. And behold, a Canaanite woman from that region came out and was crying, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. My daughter is severely oppressed by a demon. So this is a Gentile woman, right, who had no right to ask anything of a rabbi. Jesus was a rabbi. So it says, have mercy on me, O Lord, son of David. But he did not answer her a word. Oof. That didn't stop her, not this woman. She kept crying right until even the disciples are like so annoyed. It says his disciples came and begged him, saying, send her away, for she's crying after us. I think it's funny, it says after us. The disciples are just trying to get some credit here, right? Let's try to sound important. But you know, Jesus is not petty like some people are, like, wait a minute, she's after me. He doesn't even have time to go and tell him, like, look, she's after me, guys, all right? But he's like, hey, but he did address her. He answered, I was only sent to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. Another no. That didn't stop her either, right? But she came and knelt before him, saying, Lord, help me. Then came the most shocking response from Jesus, right? Maybe what Christians say, he insulted her. He answered, it's not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs. Someone say, wow. That's Jesus. That's loving Jesus. In a few weeks, by the way, I'm going to bring this woman up again. But I'm going to use Mark's account. I'm so excited for it. I'm going to talk about offenses, okay? Offenses build fences, all right? They stop you. But at which point do you quit? This woman is like begging again and again, and it's like, and Jesus says that, like, you don't take the bread from the table and throw it to the dogs, right? Where do you quit? It didn't stop her. And I'll tell you why. I'm going to get to it. She said, yes, Lord, yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered her, oh, woman, great is your faith. Be it done for you as you desire. God fulfills desires, the ones that fear him. That's what the Bible tells us, right? It says, and her daughter was healed instantly. I'm telling you, God is so good. This woman was an outsider, right? She was ignored, dismissed, but her desperation drove her into her miracle. I'm telling you, her desperation fueled her persistence. Like, how do you stay persistent? There's something that must drive you, right? That means your motives are in the right place, I believe, right? And in the end, she got what she came for, right? And my wild guess, Jesus knew exactly what she wanted before she came. Just a wild guess. He's the Son of God. He probably knew, right? I mean, but there must be a reason Jesus allowed this thing to go on so long. I always thought about it, like, Lord, why? He knew that this was being recorded. He knew that the disciples are recording. The people are going to talk about this. I'm telling you, Jesus must have been trying to say something to us to such extent, to let it go to such an extent, to understand that how crucial it is for every believer to have a holy desperation, to have that pursuit, right? Come on, somebody. You need that pursuit. You know that only God can do that in my life. I can't do it on my own. Desperation for the things of God. Amen? Come on. second story I want to use is the father of a possessed son. Mark chapter 9, start with verse 17. Then one of the crowd answered and said, "Teacher, I brought you my son who has a mute spirit. And whatever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, gnashes his teeth, and becomes rigid. So I spoke to your disciples that they should cast it out, but they could not." Jesus' response was almost one of frustration, if you think about it, right? Now, keep in mind, they did not have they got the infilling, but they haven't received the empowerment. That happens later, right? So that was a big major factor. So for a lot of people, this is just my thoughts, okay? But I love Jesus because he gets frustrated too because he's in the human body. He answered him and said, "Oh, faithless generation, how long shall I be with you?" So, you know, I want to say frustration is part of faith process. Okay, so next time you're frustrated when you're praying, you're trying to figure out, I promise you, God is working out your muscles for faith. Amen? "How long shall I be with you? Bring him to me." Then they brought him to him. And when he saw him, immediately the spirit convulsed him. And he fell on the ground and wallowed, foaming at the mouth. And then the father cried out, "If you can do anything, have compassion on us." Notice how he say, "Help us," right? Notice he's saying us because any loving parent, you know, if your child is sick, oh, it hits you. It hits you home. It's very painful to you. I'm telling you, I love that. It shows just the depth of this desperation, right? And look at let's go to verse 23. It says, Jesus said to him, "If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes," right? And then came one of the most, I believe, honest and desperate prayers in all scripture. It's one of my favorite places. This is where I can say doubt is the beginning of faith. I'm telling you, even doubt could lead to faith if you're desperate enough. It was not a perfect faith, but it was a desperate faith. Okay? Say desperate. Desperate faith, all right? So if a father, so is in this moment, if you think about it, right, he doesn't know what's going to happen, but all he knows is what he has. This was his voice and desperation. And the Son of God, who probably he saw and witnessed him cast out demons and set people free. Because prior to Jesus, healings were happening in the Old Testament, stuff like that. Casting out demons did not happen until Jesus came. And then he gave us the authority after his resurrection, right? To do the same. And guess what? Jesus answered, right? The boy was delivered. Let's just skip, for the sake of time, a woman with an issue of blood. I love this story. If you have a chance to watch the Chosen episode on that, it's well, beautifully executed. Mark chapter 5, verse 25 through 34. "Now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians." Physicians were always physicians, right? She's had spent all that she had and was no better, but rather grew worse. So, by the way, this woman was considered unclean because she was rejected because of her illness, right? And she was pretty much left alone to suffer. Can you imagine the isolation and the pain and suffering, right? 12 years, right? Verse 27, "When she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his garment. For she said, 'If only I may touch his clothes, I shall be made well.'" If only, just that little bit, right? "Immediately, the fountain of her blood was dried up, and she felt in her body that she was healed of the affliction." And Jesus, immediately knowing in himself that the power had gone out of him, turned around in the crowd and said, "Who touched my clothes?" But his disciples said to him, "You see the multitudes thronging you, and you say, 'Who touched me?'" And he looked around to see her who had done this thing. Desperation. "But the woman, fearing and trembling, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, 'Daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction.'" You know what I love about this woman is that her desperation did not drive her to give up. It did not drive her away. It drove her in to press in. for the things of God. I'm telling you, even though she wasn't supposed to be near anyone, she's sick, right? She's pushing through everybody through the crowd. She says, if I can just touch the garment of him, I will be healed, right? The faith. And that's why Jesus said, your faith has healed you. I'm telling you, her desperation birthed faith. It was a risky one too, right? It says, but I may not have an appointment, right? But I'm still going to reach him anyway. And that it doesn't matter how many people I'm going to push out through the crowd, because I need Jesus, right? I'm telling you, there's a reason these are recorded in the scripture. It's for us to understand that desperation is a crucial role that plays in our faith, into our supernatural, into when we are continuously are moved by the Holy Spirit, we're going to be continuously desperate for God in all of our ways. I'm telling you, it's beautiful, right? Now, desperation, again, can either destroy you or drive you to the deliverer, okay? Do you understand that? So, but the question is, who's driving your desperation, all right? So, Jesus understood what desperate faith does. That's why we have these accounts. That's why we have these stories. But then he also gives us these three powerful parables. And I'm going to tie them in right now to just to bring this thing of explanation with one simple truth, that if persistence works with flawed people, how much more will it work with a loving God? I'm telling you, you heard these parables, but I'm going to tie them in right now. I'm going to talk about the unjust judge, the unjust friend, and the unjust father, okay? So first of all, Luke chapter 18, verse 1. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and not give up. Again, not giving up, right? He said, in a certain town, there was a judge who neither feared God nor cared what people thought. And there was a widow in that town who kept coming to him with a plea, grant me justice against my adversary. For some time he refused, but finally he said himself, even though I don't fear God or care what people think. This guy didn't care, right? Yet, because this widow keeps bothering me, I will see that she gets justice so that she won't eventually come and attack me, okay? So he's doing out of wrong motives, right? There's desperation, all right? At first, he ignores her, but because she keeps coming, he ends up ruling in her favor. Not because he cared about justice, but because he cared about himself more. He's like, I don't want this woman coming back later attacking me, right? And verse 6 says, and the Lord said, listen to what the unjust judge says. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. However, when the Son of Man comes, will he find faith on earth? But faith is required. Say, faith is required. Amen. And that's why he says, will not the good father, right, answer? It's so beautiful. He will get justice, right? And then the second story, it's also a parable. These are parables that Jesus is using. The unjust friend, Luke 11, verse 5 through 10. Then Jesus said to them, suppose you have a friend. You go to him at midnight and say, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. A friend of mine on a journey has come to me, and I have no food to offer him. And suppose the ones inside answers, don't bother me, the door is already locked, and my children and I are in bed. I can't get up and give you anything. I tell you, even though, I mean, he got comfortable in his bed, obviously you can tell. I tell you, even though he will not get up, I love this. I tell you, even though he will not get up and give you the bread because of friendship, yet because of your shameless audacity, he will surely get up and give you as much as you need. It's amazing, right? It's like, don't bother me, the door is shut. He's persistent, right? Phone kept buzzing, like whatever, I'm going out, right? And I love the verse 9. So I say to you, ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. And the last one is the unjust father, right? And I'm explaining this because it's so briefly mentioned. I love that. In Luke 11, right? The just next verses, 11 through 13, he makes it personal now. Jesus makes it personal. Which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? But watch this. Here it comes. Verse 13. If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more? Say, how much more? All right. So it says, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? I'm telling you, that's the heart of a father. Come on. God is worthy. God is so worthy. He is true Father, right? It says, if an unrighteous judge, we just read about these three incidents, right? If an unrighteous judge will respond to persistence, if an unjust friend responds to persistence, if an unrighteous father will give good things to his children, then how much more will our loving Father give to his children that are speaking to him like, Dad, I'm here, Father, I'm here just as I am, right? There's something about being desperate for God. But we get desperate for wrong things because faith is not driving our desperations. Our feelings are in wrong motives. Praise God that our Heavenly Father is not like an earthly father. And I praise God. I had a wonderful earthly father. And not everybody have that. But this is something that the Holy Spirit and the Lord is just trying to portray and speak to us today. That we have our Father in heaven who cares about all our needs. Every little need, right? He's not like this unjust judge or a reluctant friend, right? And he's not like our flawed earthly father. He's full of compassion, mercy to those who ask him. Amen? The question is really right now is like, how much do we really want him in our life? Ask yourself, am I desperate for things of God? Is there like anything when it comes to faith? Does it stir up something within me or not? I'm telling you, I started asking lately a lot that question more than ever. I say, Lord, am I desperate enough for you? Do I seek you? Do I knock? Where's my first love? Right? So today the Lord is asking, are you willing to keep knocking, keep asking, right? Keep seeking him. He's inviting to lay ourselves down, our passivity, right? And to chase after him, the things that are of God. Amen? I love that in Mark 12:30 says, love the Lord your God. And recently we've been quoting it a lot. With all of your heart, with all of your soul, and with all of your mind, and with all of your strength. This verse is not just about love. This verse is about desperation. How else do you explain all of your heart? Think about that. Just ponder yourself. How do you love somebody with all of your heart, right? With all of your soul, with all of your mind, with all of your strength. I'm telling you, that's desperation. That means your heart is in the right place, right? That's why Matthew 6:21 says, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Amen? I'm telling you, where is your heart right now? What occupies your mind? What drives your desperation? Desperation for the things of the world to have security and safety, or desperation for the things to know that the most secure thing I have is right here. It's not here, but it's what's there. Because I'm telling you, my faith is being planted here so I can grow into the things of God, because that's eternal. That's eternal. Come on. Amen. Come on, let's stand to our feet. I'm just telling you, I want to drive this one powerful truth. If flawed people, human beings, respond to persistence, how much more will our Heavenly Father, right, will answer when we cry out to him? Let's close our eyes. Lord Jesus. I believe God is calling back the church that's going to be desperate pursuit of him, right? And I believe until we get to that state, until we get to that moment, we cannot fully experience the power, presence of God in our life. He has empowered us. He has positioned us in the place where, in order for us to be able to overcome these obstacles, to overcome these things, to be able to overcome these temptations. He has given us everything we need. He has given us weapon. It's like nothing, no person has experienced this, any kind of temptation that's not known to mankind, right? But he gives us his power to overcome anything that may come our way, right? I'm telling you, this is about desperate faith today, okay? And I want us to get desperate as we just pray right now. Take this moment, okay? I'm not going to ask people to come up front. You can if you'd like to. If you'd like more prayer at the end, come in. But I believe we all need to press in deeper, to seek the presence of God and say, Lord, I need you. That's what we were singing today, Lord. God, I need you. Oh, God, I need you now, right? How I need you, Lord. I'm telling you, desperation is not a sign of weakness. It is a sign of faith. It is fuel for faith, okay? Because when you know that only God is able, right? Not only He wants to do it, you know, not only He's willing to show His power in you, but through you, okay? And I think the Lord is already prompting Christians to say, it's time to be feeders, not just needers, right? Where you just continue saying, it's time to feed the sheep. And there's people around us that are continuous, that are in need, but we cannot move when our desperation, when our motives are in the wrong place. It's time to ask and move with God, amen? That's why the Bible says you do not have because you do not ask, because you're asking with wrong motives. So Holy Spirit, right now I pray over every heart, Lord, over every person in this place, Lord, that we would understand the value, the importance of having desperation for you. Lord, you have placed these accounts in the scripture, knowing, Lord, why would you do that? Why would you allow this woman to go to such an extent, Lord God? But you must have knew. Of course you did, Lord, because you wanted us to learn something that we just sometimes haven't received something because we haven't gotten desperate enough for it, Lord. We haven't gotten desperate enough for freedom. We haven't gotten desperate enough, Lord, to see our families change, to see our children change, to see our relatives and our loved ones change, Lord. Thank you, Holy Spirit, that you're here right now and you're speaking to every heart. Thank you, Lord Jesus. I pray, Lord, if there's anything unclean that we may say right now, Lord, I let it go. Be the Lord of my life. Be the Lord and King over my life, over everything. So I can say, Lord, I love you with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind, with all my strength, Lord. That is my desperation and my plea of faith to you, Lord, knowing that you, Lord, you reward those who earnestly seek you, Lord. Thank you that you're a good Father. You will hear, you hear every prayer, Lord Jesus. And I thank you, Lord, for this church that, Lord, you are strengthening all across this land, across this nation, Lord, that the church that is desperate is the church, Lord, that is desperate for the things of God will be the church that will experience great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Lord Jesus. We thank you for your presence in this place. And I pray, Lord, right now your peace would just flood every heart. The joy of the Lord would flood every heart. And I wholeheartedly believe there's people in this place, the Holy Spirit's touching you right now, and you need to make that surrender. I just urge you, I'd love to pray for you. Come forward, we're going to pray for you, okay? I am telling you, there's something about your desperation for things of God when you say, God, this is it. I want to acknowledge you in all of my ways so you can direct my path. Amen? Hallelujah. Let's thank God for this word because He alone is worthy. He alone is worthy. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Ladies, do not forget, our services came to a close, but keep in mind, you can still get prayer. But ladies, 6:30 Tuesday, prayer 6:30 on Wednesday, and of course, carnivore this Thursday at 6:30. All right. This is awesome, men, for to be built up and strengthen each other.
Thank you for listening to our message. May the Lord bless you and strengthen you. If you'd like to find out more information about our church, please visit whitefieldsalaska.com. Thank you.